to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Couturier can win the game for Philadelphia. Weaves to the left, works in and out with a deke and scores! The Philadelphia Flyers turn the tables on the Leafs. Brian Elliott gets the win. The Leafs are unable to come back fully. And instead of 11 rounds, it only goes three, as two of the Flyers score, Giroux and Couturier. Couturier with the game winner.
And so another Saturday night, same opponent, another shootout, different outcome. Leafs fall 3-2 to the Flyers in the skills competition, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stelic with you. Producer, Shoa Ali and technical op Andrew Holland along for the ride as well at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stelic, where you can find us on Twitter. The seventh time in 18 games, Gord, the Maple Leafs go to OT. Again, on another Saturday night, similar to last week at Wells Fargo Center, they need a shootout, and it's time. It's Philadelphia who gets the upper hand. Sean Couturier, the winner here.
Yeah, and Jim Ralph pointed out the stats. So it's 10 consecutive games the Leafs have been tied with the other team in the third period at one time or another. So you get the closeness of the games, and that's where special teams will matter so much, and that's where shootouts and overtimes matter so much. Another real exciting overtime. And then the shootout was kind of a weird one, wasn't it? I mean, we had the 11-rounder last Saturday.
I feel like I missed some of it.
Well, yes, the TV was late getting back, which is considered a cardinal sin. But then Couturier scored, and like you said, it was the least celebrated shootout win. There was, I thinking, do the Leafs go again? I don't think they go again. And all of a sudden, anyway, they had to be happy. It's a nice road win for the Philadelphia Flyers. They're looking for points. And I take it for the Leafs, they were down 2-0, so they did come back, Nick, and get a point out of it. You know, you can look at disappointment in certain elements, but the shootout, overtime, it is what it is. It's weird when the game ends, man, you're pissed if you're the losing team. You just are. You really are. It ends just so abruptly. But in the positive sense for the Leafs, a game that they were getting outplayed and rather flat early, oh, geez, repeat and rinse. That seems what they've been doing late. They come back and get the point.
What I love on social media as well, when Maple Leafs or any team for that matter and their fan base win a shootout, it's the best thing in the world. But when you lose in a shootout, it's a crock. Why are we doing
a
shootout?
It's a gadget. It's a gimmick.
And it seems like we're getting that tonight via social media at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stelic. Let's look at the positives though, Gord. This team, 3-game win streak in the books. That said, now a 5-game point streak, 3-0-2 in the last 5 games. And Frederik Andersen, I thought, was marvelous again in this game, stepped up large. He's undefeated in regulation over the last 10 games. That's an encouraging sign for this team.
Yeah, and you wonder how much is it Freddie Andersen? Like, if you had ordinary goaltending, how much trouble would you be in? We're going to find that out tomorrow. Hopefully Michael Hutchinson can have...
Hopefully it's not like last year's game at the UC.
Yes, that really was Garrett Sparks' first start. That game in Chicago, and he never got started, really. The Leafs won that game, but he never got started. Never really got going. In this case, Hutchinson's case, you hope he can play like Malcolm Subban did as a backup goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights the other night. But Freddie played phenomenal. Travis Dermott, Justin Hall, we've talked about them, so there's a lot of positives coming about. The big, big overriding concern, Mitch Marner, who's been a very durable player, missed 5 games his rookie season, played all 82 the last couple of seasons, a very perplexing, you hope not serious, but sometimes the innocent looking ones are the more serious. Puck is dropped for the start of the second period, and he appears to step right off the faceoff on an opponent's stick, and then his knee, ankle, everything bends awkwardly, and initially you're thinking it looked like his bladed broke, the way he had so much trouble getting off, and then he comes back on, and then he goes to the dressing room, then he comes back on, then he goes off, then he's at the bench, then he's upset that he gets told by the athletic therapist they're going to shut him down. And shutting him down, don't know what that means, if it's they say ankle, but whatever.
Or knee,
Hopefully it's not something too serious. We've seen that with certain players that look real serious and it isn't. Mikko Rantanen, for example, and hope that's the case for Mitch Marner.
It's just fascinating how it all went down, as you alluded to, just more so because you didn't, you know, right away when you see a guy go down, even if it's harmless like that, you look for a grimace in the face. You didn't get that from Marner. Like, it you know, watching the play unfold and how he struggled to get to the bench, you're like, hey, it's a skate blade issue. He gets to the bench, he's, you know, he wasn't even sort of favoring much there, and it seemed like a blade thing. And then the more you watch the replay, you're like, wow, he really messed something up in his ankle or his knee, just the way he fell.
Just that one quick play from the faceoff that you wouldn't catch it because it's away from the puck.
Yeah.
And that, and you know, going to the bench, if it was just an equipment thing, it was a little bit humorous because he looks like he's swimming without the blade.
Yeah.
And guys offer sticks over the bench to pull him in. You know, like you're harpooning a whale or something like that. And unfortunately, they were helping a guy who was in some injury duress, not just not equipment duress in the case of Mitch Marner in that instance.
And perhaps we'll find out more. The Mike Babcock podium is coming up here on Leafs Nation postgame. We'll have Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca, who took in this game at Scotiabank Arena. Once again, if you're just tuning in, Philadelphia 3, Toronto 2 in the shootout. The positive note for Toronto, a 5-game point streak now, 3-0-2. And don't forget the front end of a back-to-back for this team. We'll have the game tomorrow night starting at 6:30 Eastern time for Leafs Nation pregame. The Maple Leafs visiting the Chicago Blackhawks. But certainly, you look at that loss, however long it'll be, it just makes you feel a bit sour. Maybe sour is not even the word, because that top line of Toronto has just not had the opportunity to get going this year. Like, Tavares goes down first. They don't have Hyman to start the year. Then JT goes down, and now Marner, and Hyman's not even back yet.
Well, Nick, you know, injuries are unfair, and they're also a part of the game. And the more you have in the 82 games and the fewer in the playoffs, the better.
True.
And, you know, they've had, I think Leafs have had a pretty good run. Remember the man games were among the least in the NHL for
fingers
a number
crossed.
Of seasons?
Yeah.
This year, well, the fingers can uncross now because it hasn't been that case. They've had a bit more this season. And this presents opportunities to other players to get on the elite line and also maybe a Jason Spezza. Not that you want to trade off anyone getting hurt, especially Mitch Marner, for Jason Spezza being able to stay around. But more the point is, that's why Jason Spezza is around. These kind of extra players are there to provide some depth when there's injuries. And last year, it was an odd confluence of events, Nick, when William Nylander signed. The Leafs were perfectly healthy, and they had to move Josh Levo to the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, that was a guy that had re-upped a year in advance, that really had bought into being part of the Leafs, and I think would be an excellent, you know, fourth line player. And he's doing that job with the Vancouver Canucks. But because they were up against it roster wise and cap wise, they made that move. And then I can't remember who it was. Somebody got hurt like 2-3 days later, and they could have used Josh Levo. So in this case with Jason Spezza, this might put this on the back burner. I'm not saying that's a saving grace, but that's just factual.
And don't forget as well, Zach Hyman expected to return. We think sometime over the next week after tomorrow's game. The next game will be Wednesday at the Coliseum against you-know-who, the New York Islanders. So that's the prevailing story in this one. Outside of the 3-2 loss to Philadelphia, Mitch Marner leaving this game in the second period, did not return. Maybe we'll find out in the coming moments here as postgame filters in from Scotiabank Arena. But I think from that, I think the Matthews line had one of their best games of the year, especially in the second half of this game. To start the third period, they score the tying goal. You saw the chemistry of old, didn't you, with Johnsson, and especially 88, William Nylander with Auston Matthews.
Yeah, that was great to see by William Nylander. That was really nice to see. I thought he played a lot better. He'd been a little bit snake, but they had overpassed. Man, they had just, like again, I find guilty of trying to make one too many
too pretty
perfect passes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And before Nylander scored the goal, we also saw it's kind of the smirk from Auston Matthews that he started the attempt on the lacrosse style goal from behind the net. We will see it. We will see it. He's got enough experience now. He's practiced it enough. He's got the confidence. So we will see that when you put it on your skate or your stick blade and basically loop it in lacrosse style in net. And he was about halfway there, I think, because it had a bit of a bounce. He didn't do it. He didn't follow through because he would have had to make a second attempt. And then he goes, wow, there's that William Nylander guy wide open in front. And he kind of shoveled that pass. And that ended up being the game-tying goal. And from being down 2-0, they score Dermott and Nylander. And that gets him a point at the end of the day.
I cannot believe the conversation surrounding the Svechnikov, the Michigan move, whatever you want to call it, the lacrosse-style move. I can't believe the anti-committee on this move. Like, I think we're in a world, we're in a league right now where we want to reward skill, and you know, the backlash seems to be, oh, if the stick's high, then, you know, it can injure a goaltender. I don't know about you, Gord, maybe I'm old school, but I think it's pretty damn magnificent to think of doing that in the heat of the moment, the speed of the game, and I think I'm all for rewarding skill. I love the move.
Yeah, I question if you ever went to school, but that's a different matter.
I came right to broadcast.
You know, Nick, Everything new gets challenged a little bit that way. And Think about Wayne Gretzky when he came in the league and he set up the and not that anyone challenged it, you shouldn't be allowed to do it, but they did change the amount of room behind the net. They actually acknowledged that it is an offensive area. Like, that just used to be viewed as a dead area. If you're the offensive team behind the net, the goaltender would touch the puck and whatever. And Wayne Gretzky turned it around to be his, one of his offices, and he set up and it, he had your option, all these different things that people had not thought about.
I thought it was beautiful. By the way, a sidebar story right now in the NHL, 11 games in total on this Saturday. Sidney Crosby suffering a lower body injury. He'll be evaluated, or he's being evaluated, excuse me, as we speak. This courtesy of the Pittsburgh Penguins Twitter account. More information coming out on Monday. So again, the injury bug reaping havoc around the NHL. You talk about teams that are banged up this season. How many injuries have the Pittsburgh Penguins dealt with? And, you know, it's not an excuse, Gord. The Maple Leafs are dealing it, of course, right now. They lost their captain for 7 games. Mitch Marner goes down tonight, among others. They haven't had Hyman to start the year. Every team deals with it, but it's part of, like, team building, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And, again, the Pittsburgh Penguins are an excellent example. Malkin was down. They had a number of them as well. And, you know, you look at Sam Lafferty coming up and getting his chance for the American Hockey League. And Leafs are talking about this. It's not just one road trip. They've got 13 out of 16 games on the road about that team building component. And I don't dismiss it. It's true, just being able to get away and not being dispersed in your home city, and positives that way. And the other side, the injuries, because guys there get more ice time, guys that are extras get to play, and maybe someone down in the American Hockey League gets a chance to play as well. So the Leafs have had what seems like their fair share of injuries so far this season, which hasn't been the case the last number of years.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. This is Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Once again, the Leafs falling 3-2 in the shootout to the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, Gord, I'm not an X's and O's guy by any, you know, stretch of the imagination, but I'm trying to realize or understand or comprehend why this Maple Leafs team is struggling to generate offense. In your world, what's happening? Is it a team that sort of has lost confidence in its offensive abilities? Because I would say they freed the reins a bit, so to speak, in the second and third period. The first period was just a tough one. They were chasing the game, but there's just way too much talent on this roster for the lack of opportunities they're generating. We've seen this team in years past when they're on top of their game, and I understand you want to have good, you know, good balance in terms of offense and defense, but for some of the talent level they have, they're not really generating much. Like, with all due respect to Brian Elliott, he's not one of the best goalies on this planet. I thought they made his night pretty easy tonight. I don't know how you felt.
I think, Nick, a big part of it is baffling, given the talent they has, though. One we've talked quite a bit about is that 3-1 win over Los Angeles was that, where at the end of the day, it was the talent of Matthews and Nylander getting those goals 30 seconds apart that were the difference makers. But then you have Mike Babcock talking about a game that was a boring game to watch, by and large, that it was a great game. So what the hell are the players thinking?
Oh,
they're going like,
that zaps
wait,
you.
Wait, you know, like our coach says, this is a great game, you know? And so they both have to disseminate about the positives, what Mike Babcock's talking about, whether it's a team game, limiting shot attempts, all these kind of things I get that are positives, but man, you know, Scotty Bowman's a great coach, but Scotty Bowman has been blessed with great players most of the times he's been somewhere, and he's understood, you know, He's evoked different systems. He's got them to buy in his system, but he's allowed his great players to be great. You know, they've thrived. And you know, that's part of, to me, that I'm very biased to Bruce Boudreau. He's having a terrible time. His Minnesota Wild this year.
Yeah.
But if there's a guy that can allow great players to be great, it's a coach like him. And I don't think it's all that complicated or difficult. I'm finding, so maybe that's part of it. They're thinking about these systems, and also they're making too many passes. I'm really perplexed that when they have a great shot, they'll pass off for a worse shot. And see, that's part when you have your mojo and your flow and your confidence, you're kind of knowing when to hold them, when to fold them, when to shoot, all those kinds
of
things.
Well, that was honestly part of the conversation I had in the first intermission when I guested on Sportsnet Tonight with Roger Lajoie and Josh Goldberg. Just, you look around the league, and Gord, you cover it, of course, for SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, the host and co-host of the Morning Skate, the NHL Morning Skate there. It's just more so how most teams, a lot of coaches around the league, like to throw their lines at times in a blender. I don't know if it's just me, but Mike Babcock really likes going with the norm, and he doesn't mix much up. Like, in my perfect world, I think if you're struggling to generate the offense the way the Maple Leafs have, why don't we ever see Tavares and Matthews together, or Matthews and Marner when healthy, or Tavares with Nylander? Like, he neglects to go to those opportunities when I'm not saying 24/7, 365 roll with those lines, but I think it goes a long way in inspiring some confidence in your lineup when you get the feel of scoring a goal or setting up a nice play or setting up a goal.
Yeah, the key thing right now is that when healthy handle, which isn't 100% been the case, but I'm hoping over these 82 games, Nick, that there's some thought process about that, you know, when you really need the goal, then go full throttle. You got these talented guys. And again, it goes back to game 7, seeing Patrick Marleau out there too much at the end, not seeing Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and Tavares, you know, out there enough or together. And he can argue, say, oh, their ice time was whatever. Well, no. I mean, you needed a goal and you needed to have those guys out more because you got those guys. Not many teams have those guys.
You got to take advantage of your luxury cars, right? There's no other way to put it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's my wonder, too. From that note, too, and you talked about it earlier, Justin Hall deserves a lot of props for the way he's playing right now. I know oftentimes you're not going to talk a lot about your 5-6 pairing, but I thought Dermott was great in this game. I thought Hall was solid. And that's exactly what you want from that third pairing, is it not?
Yeah, and give the Leafs credit then in a sense that they decided not to risk him going down on waivers, which the average fan would have said last year, well, what, really?
It's just Justin
Hall. You're not even playing him. Everyone kind of forgot that he existed. And so Justin Hall, in a season where he didn't play a ton of games, give him credit for staying sharp and being mentally sharp as well and improving and growing and taking it all in. And in this case, the Leafs, you know, unlike Frankie Corrado, where they did the same thing and Frankie Corrado proved not to be an NHL player with them anyway, Justin Hall was worth going through this exercise. Again, in a perfect world, I would have played him a few more games than 11 out of 72. And this year, I think you've already seen Mike Babcock have that propensity to do that when they had more extra guys earlier this year.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm with you. And again, for a conversation we're not normally going to have, I think those guys deserve a lot of respect for the way they're playing. And by the game, does it not seem like Travis Dermott is starting to get that confidence that we saw last year? Because I think the one X factor of many that he brings to the table is his ability to move the puck. And you pair him with a guy like Justin Hall, who's more of a guy who prides himself on being a shutdown or that type of, you know, defensive defenseman. I think opposites do go well together on a pairing, and that's why I think Dermott and Hall are having success so far. And it shouldn't be a shocker either. We've noticed the last couple games leaving the zone. The Maple Leafs maybe have addressed that through the practice time they've had the last couple weeks, but they've been much cleaner in leaving the zone outside of, I would say, the last 3 minutes of the first period. It got murky there, didn't it?
Yeah, they really have. They really have. They had some games you said, wow. Now, I knew they had not had a lot of practice time in that, but you said, man, God, practice getting the puck out of the zone, all those things, simple basics that – at all levels, and you know, practice might have helped make perfect, but just the guys getting it, and the comfortable element about it. Cody Ceci and Morgan Rielly struggled as a pair early on, and everyone's kind of finding their way, and Mike Babcock's trying a few different things.
Yeah, he's sucking the life out of this team right now from an offensive standpoint to gain more defensively speaking. So the Maple Leafs drop at 3-2, the final, in a shootout to the Philadelphia Flyers. That is now a 5-game point streak for Toronto, 3-0-2. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. You can find us on Twitter at The Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. Still to come here on Leafs Nation postgame, we'll join Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca, who took this one in from Scotiabank Arena. We'll hear some of the postgame remarks, including Mike Babcock, as this team gets set for the quick back-to-back into the United Center tomorrow night to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. The Leafs fall 3-2 in the shootout to the visiting Philadelphia Flyers, falling to 9-5-4 on the season. Gord, I can't believe seventh time in 18 games for the Maple Leafs they go to extra time.
There was a stretch, I think, they didn't do it last year. You're right.
Yeah.
And I talked about it, kicked off the show, 10th consecutive games they've had been tied in the third period at one time or another. So close games, and maybe that's part of when we talk about, you know, seeing that kind of offensive style, that there's this expectation that the Leafs will have one of those breakout games like Colorado did the other night against Nashville, you know, win 1-9-2 or 7-2 or 6-2, and Mike Babcock alluded to that. I know fans like that. They don't like this style, but that's maybe part of it. The games are close, which is great that they're winning their share, But, yeah, why are they not having a breakout game or two offensively?
Never know. Maybe it happens in Chicago on Sunday night. Let's not waste any time and get to Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca at Scotiabank Arena. Guilty, we sort of buried the lead. Mitch Marner left this game in the second period. What else have we learned, Luke, from the sentiments of Mike Babcock, the head coach?
We learned that he's not traveling with the team tonight to Chicago, and he won't play tomorrow. Beyond that, we don't know. We asked Mike Babcock, and he said he doesn't know the severity of the injury just yet. So this is hockey, he said. You know, that these things happen from time to time. The kind of irony here, the sad irony, is this top line of the Maple Leafs that we haven't seen in its entirety yet this season was about to be reunited, because next week they're expecting Zach Hyman back. So Tavares has already been hurt. Hyman's about ready to come back, and now Mitch Marner is gone. So we still haven't seen the top line of the Maple Leafs fully intact this year. And this is a rough go, because when you think back to the previous couple of seasons, the Leafs were very fortunate. They didn't have many long-term injuries. And this one seems to have gotten off to quite a rocky start in that department.
Yeah, there's no shortage. We all play amateur physicians about injuries. So I don't know, maybe what you saw as much on replay than live, and what people are thinking or saying. Because, you know, Nick and I, you're kind of looking that you're perplexed. You think it's an equipment issue. Then you see the actual flip where he steps on the player's stick at the start, and you see significant, you know, knee bend, ankle bend, disconcerting that way. But then you see him come back for a shift. You see him disappear. You see him come back to the bench. I mean, at least he's game to go. I mean, none of this is scientific in determining if he's out for one game or 21 games, but what's the sense when you've had a chance to chat about it?
Well, I mean, I just know that it's an ankle, so you kind of, it almost might be better if it's a break. I've heard just in talking to other athletes that a high ankle sprain, like the one Jack Eichel had a couple years back, can be a bit of a more nagging injury. Sometimes it's better if it's a break, but you know what? It could be a minor sprain. Anything is just speculation at this point. But it was an odd scenario, the fact that he played a shift after it happened and then fell again, just kind of on his own volition, like out of nowhere. And from where we sit, way up on the sixth floor, it looked like maybe it was just a skate blade. But when you see it in super slow-mo, his ankle is really tweaks after he stepped. His other foot stepped on the Flyers player's blade, and that scooted out, and then it just kind of, his right ankle just really buckled and tweaked in kind of a nasty way.
Yeah,
So it'll be a big loss. You just hope it's just minor and it's just for a game or two.
I would add, too, that playing beer league hockey a couple years ago, I actually suffered a very similar injury in the way I fell, and it was a high ankle sprain, and the doctor did say it would have been better if it was broken more so than it being sprained. It's a tough recovery. Like, I still feel it these days, and obviously it's a bit different in the national level where the NHL, where they have the doctors handy on a daily basis. But the Maple Leafs falling 3-2 in the shootout here to the Philadelphia Flyers, joined by Luke Fox, it's Nick Alberga, and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame. Outside of that, the Leafs, to me, Luke, just look off. What's your assessment of this game against the Philadelphia Flyers?
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you dig yourself an 0-2 hole at home and you're playing catch-up, you're kind of just lucky to crawl your way back, let your skill take over. You know, I thought it was great that Travis Dermott got on the board. You know, he was feeling good about that. But I agree with you that they haven't dictated the game. I felt like even in the Vegas game and LA Kings game, it was more like Toronto was playing their style. It felt like they won on LA's terms and they won on Vegas's terms, as opposed to making the opposition play on their terms, which is supposed to be a fast, fast rush game, lots of high danger scoring chances. And it doesn't feel like that way. It feels like they're letting teams take it to them a little bit more, especially in the early going, and relying on their goaltender. I mean, Freddie Anderson was excellent again this evening, and he was quite ticked off. I think maybe goalies take it personally when they lose a shootout. So he was kind of interesting. He was definitely sour that he lost that one. You know, he was asked about Claude Giroux winding up and taking a full clapper in the shootout. And he said maybe he was ticked off that he couldn't figure it out last Saturday, you know, when they went 11 rounds. He's like, maybe he was angry from before. So I don't think he appreciated the slap shot, but he obviously was upset that he allowed two goals in that shootout.
Now, I know tomorrow, I take it we'll be talking to Chris Johnson, but speaking of Freddie Anderson, boy, well, we'll find out. Michael Hutchison, I mean, how much further do they go if tomorrow, let's be optimistic, let's hope it's like the kind of start Malcolm Subban had the other night in Vegas in somewhat of a comparable situation, but if it remains not good, what do you think?
Well, I just don't see any options. You know, sort of, you know, really shaking things up and trying to make a trade, because it is interesting, because four games is all it took a couple of years back for Jonas Enroth to lose his job. And this will be Hutchison's fifth game. Now, I think he has played well the last couple, but they haven't had any W's to show for it. So the pressure will be on in Chicago. And, you know, they definitely have some shooters there. So, and now without Marner, one of their better players, you know, plays in all situations, penalty kill, often on the shutdown line. It's going to be a tough task. And, you know, for Hutchison's sake, I hope he can get the win. But, you know, it has been a reminder. It did not go unnoticed that Gerard Gallant, when he was here this week, said you need two good goaltenders to go anywhere in the NHL. And right now the NHL or the Leafs have one for sure.
Yeah, and let's just hope for all of us involved. It's not like last year's game in Chicago against the Hawks when Garrett Sparks had quite the first, I believe, start of the season in that one. It was, I think the over-under was set on 52, and they actually had 54 in that game. But, you know, just to circle back on the Mitch Marner conversation again, we don't know much more outside of he won't play against Chicago. Who are some guys who need to step up? Obviously, Kasperi Kapanen in that role with Trevor Moore and JT on that top line. But is that the sense you get that they'll continue to stick with those guys here?
That would be my thought. I think Kapanen's actually been really good the last handful of games. You know, he would never admit it, but I think playing on the left side didn't suit him. He looked uncomfortable there, but he's a right winger just like Marner. So I would imagine that he would slot in to Tavares's right. You know, he got that spot in the overtime as well as in the game. And he's been flying, you know, he's been really good on his edges. He's created some opportunities. So, yeah, it's another opportunity for him to play a little bit farther up the lineup. But I also would like to see, you know, the third line, the Kerfoot line, try and chip in with some offense. You know, Austin Matthews and William Nylander have been able to contribute this week and relatively low scoring games by Leafs standards. So, you know, I think it falls on the rest of the group, too. Even Nick Shore had a wide-open net that he kind of waved on tonight. So I think you need a little bit of depth scoring. It's kind of everyone has to pitch in a little bit when your top scorer for the past two seasons goes down.
You're right. Adversity is part of the game, and it is next man up, sadly, in this league. The Maple Leafs hit the road quite a bit here in the month of November going forward. Luke, thanks so much for this, and we'll talk next Saturday night, okay?
Okay, have a great night, gentlemen.
You as well. There's Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca from Scotiabank Arena. Once again, the Maple Leafs falling 3-2 in the shootout to the Philadelphia Flyers. From there, we're going to roll back to Scotiabank Arena. And as promised, here's the head coach, Mike Babcock.
Mitch's ankle not coming tomorrow. What do you got?
What do you think of your club's resilience after Mitch left the game and you guys got back into it?
Yeah, I thought the first about 6 minutes, we were all over the place. And then we seemed to settle in and get playing. I actually thought it was a good hockey game up and down the rink. We had opportunity. They had opportunity. You know, unfortunate they got the second point and we didn't.
How do you feel Kasperi slotted in with John once Mitch left?
Well, I mean, just put him there. Obviously, he can skate. And I thought he worked hard here tonight. They had some looks. You know, obviously, we didn't expect Moore to be playing there either, but, you know, that's just the way it is. We had a lot of guys play hard tonight.
What goes through your mind when you see Mitch kind of flopping to the bench like that?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? It's hockey. Injuries happen, and then you find out more about other guys. You know, I don't know the extent of this. I don't know if it's a few days or weeks or or whatever. So, I mean, there's no sense dwelling on the negative. So if someone else gets an opportunity, let's go.
How do you feel about the Manson-Nylander connection, especially down the stretch?
Well, I thought Johnny plays on their line too. So I just thought, I thought they were, I mean, they were our best line. They, in the first, they were our only line that really generated. I thought they were good though.
What can it do for Travis to get a goal, you know, fairly quickly after recovering?
Well, it's good for him. I thought he played good today. You know, it's all part of earning your confidence back. Doesn't matter who you are when you come back and you haven't played and you don't feel exactly perfect. It takes you some time normally, but good for Dermy tonight. He made some good plays.
There is Mike Babcock as the Maple Leafs get set for the quick turnaround, but not an excuse tomorrow night, Gord, again, because Chicago's in the back-to-back. They also lost 3-2 in a shootout to Pittsburgh earlier tonight, and I don't want to say he sounded defeated there, but definitely irritated by the loss of Mitch Marner was Mike Babcock, clearly.
Yeah, that's a good word, irritated, because he's always in control. He understands what the game is and that, but it's... You're going to get Zach Hyman back. You just got John Tavares back, and now you lose Mitch Marner.
Frustrating, so
you've got this never really getting going, and you want all your horses in check. And he's lost a real big one for at least one game, but one gets the feeling it's going to be more than that.
The Maple Leafs, again, adversity is part of this game. Every team deals with injuries. Sadly enough, it is next man up. Just look at Pittsburgh, look at Dallas, who have weathered the early storms in terms of all these injuries. And the Maple Leafs were 3-2-2 without John Tavares in the lineup. So, again, no Mitch Marner for the Maple Leafs against Chicago. The postgame continues here. Let's hear next from Austin Matthews.
Is resilience the key, especially emotionally after you lost Mitch and then were able to come back with a couple of goals?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just try to stick with it and claw our way back. And we were able to do that, obviously. Force overtime, but you really want to get that extra point there, especially how hard we worked to get back in that situation. So just a bit frustrating, but put our best foot forward and get ready for tomorrow.
Was that a fake on the Svechnikov attempt or just some quick improvisation?
Just, I tried it and get on my stick, so I just made the pass instead.
Do you feel like you guys started to do better after the first goal?
I think just communication and... breaking out easier, getting in, playing offense into their zone. And, I mean, they do a good job boxing out, and they break out quick. Their guys stay close and tight together. And it was kind of causing us problems there at the beginning of the game. So, and then kind of run into those couple penalties early on, and they capitalize. And, we're down again. So
they hung in.
Find a way, especially that first period, and be a little more disciplined.
What goes through your mind when you see Mitch hobbling to the bench like that?
I just hope he's okay. I mean, you never know what the situation is or what's really going on, and obviously in his body and his mindset. So just hope everything's okay, and go from there, obviously.
Have you had a chance to talk to him?
No.
Can you comment on Willie's game tonight?
Yeah, he played great. I mean, I thought, when he's skating like that, and, we're just all three of us are working together, from the defensive zone, to the neutral zone, into the offensive zone. It just makes things easier, and we're just able to utilize our skill and our speed, and obviously we want to play in their end, not ours. And so when we do that and keep things simple, play together, play as a five-man unit, we tend to have some good stretches.
We know Travis Dermott can communicate. Is he talking to you when he's coming in off the point in that particular play?
Which one?
The goal.
Well, I mean, that was Billy who made that pass, yeah. But I mean, I could hear him screaming from the blue line. So he's a really passionate guy. Obviously, he loves to score, loves to win. Really good teammate. So really happy for him to get that first one. Obviously, it's always a great feeling, and he was pretty excited.
When Freddie makes the flurry of saves early in the third, what's that do on the bench to you guys?
I think it just fires up us up, and we want to do better so he doesn't have to do that. But obviously, there's going to be times and points in the game where they're going to be, in our zone making plays and, have good opportunities. Obviously, you want to limit that. But, he's been unbelievable these last few games. He made some incredible saves, and it's special. Obviously, I don't want to watch it all the time, but when he does that, it's pretty amazing.
Back-to-back in Chicago, a building you had a lot of fun in last year. What are you looking forward here to in another back-to-back situation?
Just trying to pick up our first back-to-back win, I think. That'd be nice. So I think it's just a mindset, getting some rest tonight, wrapping things up here and getting on the plane and getting over there.
There you have it, Austin Matthews. And Gord, if memory serves me correctly from that game at the UC in Chicago last year, that was when the when Austin Matthews and Patrick Kane did the Hulk Hogan celebration, right? The hand to the crowd.
Yeah, that's what, Austin did it first, which was out of character, but was kind of great to see him so pumped. And then Patrick Kane replied. It was seeing two great players go at it was neat. He had an interesting line there. Just one is about talking about how great Freddie Anderson plays. And I love watching him, but I don't want to watch him like that every night. Meaning, you can't, keep giving up games like or being involved in games like this and expect the goaltender, in this case Freddie Anderson, to come up with the huge saves, which he does so often.
Yeah, basically indirectly, Austin Matthews saying that the Leafs team at times needs to be better and they can't rely on Frederick Anderson. But again, that's why you pay him the big bucks to make those stops and keep you in the game when you're not playing your best. So the Maple Leafs in the back to back. Anderson presumably will have the night off in Chicago, but here were his thoughts on this shootout loss.
Undefeated in regulation in your last 10 starts, Fred. Talk about your consistency and what's enabled you to play so well over such a long stretch.
So I just try to be good with my depth and try to try to read the play a little bit more and be a little bit deeper, but and try to take my eyes back when I have a chance. But I think we've been playing well too. We've been playing better and better. I don't think we have the best start today, but obviously we got better as we went on and was able to get a point out of it.
I don't really see a lot of guys slapshot on shooter attempts. What was your perspective of the Drew attempt?
I don't know. So maybe it's frustration from last time, but if they ran out of ideas, but that worked this time. And obviously, it sucks to lose that way, but he made a nice move as well. So, not as long as time.
Back-to-back saves in that sequence. What are you reading as you go? I guess right pad quickly, and then I guess just get in the way with the follow-up shot.
Yeah, just try to make something happen. Try to get any part of the body in front of it, and go on instinct.
What goes through your mind, Fred, when you see Mitch hobbling to the bench like that?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't really know what's going on with him. So we can take that with we know more.
What do you make of the way the team kind of battled back, though, in his absence and dug out of a hole?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got better and better as the game went on and try to make a game out of it. Obviously, like I just said before, we didn't start as well and was able to get a point out of it. So, could be worse.
Looks like you may be backing up in Chicago again for the second straight season. What is it about the building, the excitement that might allow this team to find a way for Michael to get a victory in a really tough, tough environment?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible building. You have unbelievable fans there and make it really loud even before the game starts. So they all show up even for the anthems, and it's pretty cool.
The always calm and soft-spoken Frederick Anderson, who I think has the perfect demeanor to be a goalie. Like, not too high, not too low. You couldn't tell if they won that game or lost that game by his comments, Gord.
He's not a doctor either, by the way. You're it's just interesting, a lot of the questions.
And we're
not there, so I'm not criticizing people, but sometimes people, so we're not, but just, I think they get used to them, like, how and they're the same people
that
do.
How did you feel, Fred?
Yeah, that do all 82 games. So, so it's tough coming up with new stuff. But it is interesting that Drew slapshot in the shootout. Like, whether there's that overused word code or what it was, because Luke Fox, who was on earlier, intimated he thought Freddie was pissed off that Claude Drew did that, or was he just ticked off he got beat by it? I don't know. It's an unusual move to do in a shootout, but it worked for Claude Drew.
Yeah, that's all we need is the conversation to spark on Monday that you can't take slap shots anymore in the shootout. I hate the direct. I still can't get over the fact that we're talking so much about this Michigan move that Svechnikov pulled. I reward skill. And again, by any means necessary, you want to score even if it's in the shootout. So obviously Anderson didn't like it very much, but Giroux took the slap shot. He scored. The Maple Leafs lose it at 3-2 in the shootout to the Philadelphia Flyers. We'll take our final break. We'll wrap things up after this. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. At the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
All right. welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, Snick Alberga and Gord Stellick, wrapping things up for another Saturday night. You can find us on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. The Leafs falling 3-2 in the shootout to the Philadelphia Flyers. Again, the second straight Saturday, those two teams going to a shootout. Last Saturday, the Leafs prevailing 4-3 at Wells Fargo Center. Another busy, prototypical Saturday, Gord, in the National Hockey League world. 11 games in total. Why don't we start with tomorrow's opponent, Chicago. They lost 3-2 in the shootout to the Pittsburgh Penguins. In Pittsburgh, by the way, and Sidney Crosby left that game.
Yeah, that's a disconcerting thing from the Penguins' point of view. Chicago did have a 2-0 lead, blew the 2-0 lead. Pittsburgh wins in a shootout. And as mentioned, Leafs-Hawks used to have Norris Division days, many Sunday night battles. So Michael Hutchinson in goal tomorrow. And, of course, 6:30, we are on the Fan, Leafs Nation pregame. And we have the game for you.
Somebody find us the line for that game in terms of over-under. Gabby Bugeaud's side gets in the win column tonight, a 4-3 win against Arizona.
What a big one.
Yeah, it is. A rematch of the Cup Final from a couple years ago. The Caps win again. Surprise, surprise. They're on fire, man. They never lose.
Yeah, they really are. And the first Coyotes were up 3-0. So yeah. Gabby's team came back. They've blown leads to win at 4-3. And I'm impressed by Vegas. I really am, but I'm more impressed by Washington.
Oh.
And Tom Wilson gets another goal again tonight. Kuznetsov has a big game. Carlson with what he does. I mean, it's the same recipe. They are just a dominant. They are the Tampa Bay Lightning, the regular season Tampa Bay Lightning this year.
And they're getting it from everywhere. John Carlson's been unbelievable. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, list goes on and on. Ottawa, hence Carolina, Gord, their fourth consecutive loss, 4-1. J.G. Pageot, he of a contract year. Now has 8 goals in 15 games to start this season.
Yeah, he have a contract year after last year wrecking his Achilles early on. And the Carolina Hurricanes, you're starting to get a little worried about them. They're, you know, slip sliding a little bit. We'll talk about the Florida Panthers. At least Florida was playing another Eastern Conference battle rival in the New York Islanders. But this is a few of them now for the Carolina Hurricanes. They got to get the surge back.
Yeah, they do. It is the ebbs and flows as well of an NHL season. Montreal gets 2 goals from Shea Weber. That bomb is still on point, even at the ripe age of 34. The captain of that team, 2 goals, 3-2 win against the LA Kings. The aforementioned Islanders, Wednesday night's opponent, the Coliseum is going to be bumping for sure. John Tavares going back again. The Islanders scored 11-0-1 over the last 12. They pull out a 2-1 matinee affair win against the Panthers this afternoon.
Yeah, looking forward to Wednesday's game. And they've had lots of injuries, too. When we talk about injuries, I just think the Florida Panthers have been, you know, they want to bank points. They've done an okay job this year banking points, but they, like the Carolina Hurricanes, have had a tough week.
Elsewhere over in Stockholm, Tampa 5, Buffalo 3. The Sharks and Preds 0-0 early on. Calgary down 1-0 to St. Louis after 1. And Blue Jackets down 3-2 to the Avalanche after 2. Gord, excellent stuff. And we'll reunite on Sunday night for Leafs Nation pregame at 6:30 Eastern.
Can't wait. Post game, Michael Hutchison, what will we be saying?
Can't wait for that. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks to Shoa Lee, Andrew Holland, and J.R. Manitad. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Post Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thanks to GTA Acura Retailers, too.